This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me
Mark Lawrence.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Mike, you've had an interest in railways for a long time. And just recently you've been researching the history of overnight trains from Auckland to Wellington.
Yes, I got a subscription to a relatively new rail magazine called The Linesider. And it had an article in a recent issue about the Silver Star train, which I've had experience with, travelled on several times. And it was a very good article, and I thought that could be the basis of a good interview.
Yep, okay. So, and the Silver Star ran where and how? And
it ran between Auckland and Wellington. It didn't have a very long life, unfortunately.
So when did it start up?
1971.
Oh, okay.
So and it ran to about 1979.
And that was an overnight train. Yep. So what had there been before that?
There had been just ordinary trains. There used to be two trains a night each way. One was called the Express, and that left each end late afternoon about 4:30, and it made quite a lot of stops on the way up, and obviously it took longer than the other train, which left later, and that was called the Limited Express. And limited because it made fewer stops. And the Express itself, the Express that left earlier, had a mail van on it, and it carried mail up and dropped it off at stations. It stopped off on the way up and collected mail from those stations, and it had staff on board that sorted the mail. So if you posted a letter at, for example, Palmerston North, then it would go on the train, it would be sorted on the train and put into a bag for whatever the destination was, and then dropped off on the way.
So the northbound train would pick up the northbound mail and the southbound train pick up the southbound mail.
Correct, yes. So the Express, both trains had sleeping cars on them. They had carriages with seats in as well. First class carriages had much better seats than the second class ones, and they're more like chairs. Whereas the second class carriages, you were two people on each seat, so you're elbow to elbow with your neighbour, which is not too good if you didn't know that person, especially if you fell asleep during the night and put your head on their shoulder. But the first class carriages had much better seats. They were reclining seats. And then they had sleeping cars as well, and they had cabins with two berths. And
so it was almost like plane travel, really, where you just got the sit-up. It might recline a bit, maybe.
I guess so, yes. So both the Express and the Limited train had the sleeping cars and had the first class and second class carriages. But as I said, the Limited Express did the trip quicker because it didn't make so many stops.
Yeah. So how long would it take if you'd arrive in Wellington at 8 o'clock or?
Half past seven, 8, something like that, from memory. Yeah. They had to, in those days they were pulled by steam locomotives, so they stopped, as well as having to stop to pick up and drop off passengers, they had to stop occasionally to stock up with water. So when the train left Wellington, because of the tunnels north of Wellington, the train was pulled by electric locomotive, but when it got to Paikokoriki, they swapped the electric one for a steam locomotive to pull it the rest of the way to Auckland. So Paikokoriki was actually the first refreshment stop. Only an hour after leaving Wellington, you had a refreshment stop. because it took so long to change the engines over. Yeah. And then there were refreshment stops. They varied from year to year, but ones that I remember were Palmerston North, Taihape, Aokuni, Taumarunui, Tikawiti, and then I can't remember the ones north of Taumarunui.
Okay, yeah. I know in Britain they talk about sort of railway food, and it'd be sandwiches that are dried and curled up and very heavy cups, I don't know, so they don't break probably. I don't know, was it that New Zealand experience too?
Yeah, New Zealand railway cups became a bit of a joke actually. People were talking about unbreakable cups, and quite a few cups ended up in riverbeds as trains crossed over bridges. People threw them out the windows. So I believe there's quite a good hunting grounds on some of the riverbeds underneath railway bridges.
There was a reason for doing that, was
there? Well, I think it was just a
just sort of a boredom on the journey.
Yeah, a joke, if you call it a joke, I don't know. Yeah. But the refreshment rooms themselves, obviously when it stopped at a station with a refreshment room, there was a mad dash for the refreshment rooms. Hmm. And you could have tea or coffee or sandwiches, and their fruitcake generally was very nice. I think also pies, that's right, I remember the railway pies. To serve, there was only the rail refreshment stops were only about 10 minutes, so the refreshment room staff had to work flat out to serve all those people in 10 minutes, and invariably there wasn't time to have your refreshment on the platform, so people took their cups of tea, coffee and cake onto the train and had it on the journey, and then when they finished they put their cups underneath the seat, and later on an attendant would come through the carriage with a box and collect up all the cups and saucers and plates and they would be dropped off at the next refreshment stop to be washed and recycled and sent back again.
So there was no sort of food or drink service on the train itself?
No, there was nothing at all. There was no... The only person on the train, apart from passengers, would have been the guard.
Oh, really?
Holiday time, there might have been two guards because of the number of people, but the guard was there basically just to collect
so
tickets.
So there weren't hostesses? Because what was it? Was it on the Silver Fern there? Or is it... So later there was a different... service with that sort
the,
of feature,
the Silver Star had to
the
start.
The Silver Star had
Before that, the ordinary trains.
So they were just basic trains and service from the station?
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, actually, so when did they first have that sort of train service connecting Auckland and Wellington?
That came in, 1908 was completion of the main trunk line between Auckland and Wellington. And that was completed in the middle of the North Island. And so in 1909, they started passenger trains. Now, that took 2 days. They couldn't complete the trip in 1 day. So if you're going north, the train stopped at Aokuni for the night. And southbound, the train stopped at Taumarunui and then continued the next day.
So there were hotels there for the...
Yes, and that was a problem sometimes, and the town was finding enough beds for everybody.
Yeah. Well, that was a big improvement from the days before the railway connection, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, before the railway connection, the only way was by sea. If you go back far enough to the... 1880s, early 1880s, then it was a matter of travelling by ship. They called them steamers in those days between Auckland and Wellington. But the railway line to New Plymouth was completed before the main trunk line. So then people travelled by train from Wellington to New Plymouth, then caught a steamer at New Plymouth, which travelled overnight to Onehunga. At Onehunga, people transferred to a local train to complete the journey into Auckland.
Oh, yeah. Was there a time when they were taking the rail line north and south and it hadn't joined and there was sort of a coach connecting the gap between the two?
Yes, there was. I don't know too much about that, but I have read that there was a coach connecting taking passengers between the two sections of line.
Yeah, so at least once you got there, it'd be more reliable, because out here with the steamers, if the weather's not good or
yeah, but on the other hand, I imagine the roads in those days were so poor, and if they have heavy rain or something, then they could become impassable as well.
So, in fact, New Zealand only really opened up for, well, or the North Island only really opened up for people to be fairly mobile in the early 1900s.
That was right, yes. The in 1924 was the first, I said before about the train stopping overnight at Tamarindua or Okeene.
Yeah, yeah.
So 1924 was the first passenger train, that overnight passenger train that went right through without an overnight stop. The trains that did have an overnight stop from 1909 onwards took 19 hours to complete the journey Auckland to Wellington. But once they started the first through overnight passenger train in 1924, the journey time came down to 14 hours.
Okay, oh, that's not bad. Was it expensive? Is it something, a luxury item for people to travel that far?
Well, I've got figures here that first class fares were 21 shillings and threepence.
And that was when?
This is about 1924.
Okay.
Yeah. 21 shillings and threepence for second class seats, and that equates to $220
in today's money. In 2024 prices.
Yeah.
And that's dearer than flying, is it?
Yeah, well, no? I did wonder about that when I saw that price. Mm-hmm. And the first class seats were 39 shillings, which equates to $400. And if you wanted a sleeping berth, then that was another 10 shillings.
So you'd only do it for special reasons then, really, I suppose, unless it was work-related.
Yeah. Well, visiting family, the holidays.
Yeah, a special occasion.
That's right. For those travelling in second class, well, for those travelling anywhere on the train, actually, but certainly second class passengers, the seats were so darn uncomfortable that you could hire a pillow. And I remember on the platform at Wellington Railway Station, there was a kiosk where you could hire your pillow. And I think the cost was about 1 shilling in those days. And then you used it. You could hire two pillows if you wanted to. Mm. Make yourself really comfortable. And then when you finished your journey, you just left the pillow on the train and it got recycled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and people didn't take their own pillows and rugs.
Well, you could have done.
Yeah,
you could have done.
But then you got to deal with it at the other end.
Yeah, but people quite often took their own refreshments, sandwiches or something like that, or thermoses with hot water in. But generally speaking, I think most people are quite happy to use the railway refreshment rooms.
Yeah, well, chance to stretch their legs, I suppose, and get off the train.
I do feel sorry for disabled people, because there really was no catering for disabled people on trains in those days.
Yes, because if there's no staff either, then, you're with people who could help you on and off. Then. So it was quite secure? There wouldn't be any problems with, I don't know, pickpockets or anything if there's only a guard on the train?
No, I think the greatest problem was with drunks.
Drunks. Oh, drunks.
People that had too much alcohol.
Yes, yeah. Because it's set off just after the pubs closed at 6 in the evening.
Well, it's like that. And I do know of a case that happened to me when I was in Taumarunui, actually, and we were expecting somebody the next morning to relieve on a position where I was working. Mm. And that person didn't turn up. And he was he liked to hit the bottle. And the train stopped at Parapuram, and he saw the pub across the road, so he thought he'd have time for a quick one.
Yeah.
But he missed the train and never got back on the train. So we didn't see him until the next day.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was the biggest problem was beer having...
Yeah, yeah, because there wasn't the understanding about limited drinks and things then, was there?
So. No. And, of course, I don't know if the passenger trades had much to do with it, but in the early days the King Country was dry, You couldn't buy alcohol in the King Country. And so it was smuggled in. Quite often on goods trains, people would get stuff sent on a goods train, freight. It would be disguised as something quite innocent, but inside would be bottles of beer. So that was quite common. And I think probably on the trains as well, people were carrying beer if they lived in the King Country and coming back from Wellington. They'd make sure that they were well stocked up.
And you did. Now, you really were doing a lot of these journeys when it was already the Silver Star, were you, or before then at all?
I had travelled as a schoolboy, on the express or limited, I can't remember which, between... from Wellington to Auckland to stay or have a holiday with relatives north of Auckland. In fact, at that time I was living in Napier, so I had to catch a train from Napier to Wellington, wait for the northbound train from Wellington, and then catch that.
And you did that on your own?
Yeah.
At what age?
13, 14, like that. And... So yeah, I'd caught the express or limited, as I said, I can't remember which train it was, to Auckland a few times. But then I lived in Taumarunui for 7 years, and occasionally I'd go to Wellington for a course or for a meeting. And the best way of going down, there was a bus service, but the best way of going down was by train, the night train. But that passed through, the southbound one to Wellington passed through Taumarunui at 10 at night. That wasn't too bad if you're a good sleeper and get a reasonable sleep before Wellington. But I wasn't such a good sleeper, so invariably if I was on a course and I arrived in Wellington on a Monday morning and went to the course, I'd fall asleep during the course, and that was a bit embarrassing. The northbound trip on the Silver Star got into Taumarunui at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And there are no taxis in Taumarunui. And I didn't want to get my wife down at 2 in the morning to get me. So it was a case of walking about 3 kilometres home with my luggage.
Yeah. So are you talking about the 1960s? 1970s.
These are between 1966 and 1974. So in Taumarunui, being a train town, a railway town, I was quite interested in trains there because they had a big settlement there which were just railway houses for all the people that worked on the railways, the drivers, the shunters and all the other staff. Lived in Taumarunui, had a big settlement of railway people there.
And that shaped the atmosphere of the town as well, the culture of the town?
Yeah, apart from the smoke.
Okay. So what was your impression then of the Silver Star? Was it a big step up from the the Express?
Because the Silver Star was sleeper only. There were no seats for sitting in, no carriages for sitting in. They were all sleepers with cabins, and some of the carriages were called roomette because they had cabins for just one person travelling on her or his own. And then other carriages were called twinettes because the cabins could take two people, and they had seats there for daytime travel. For example, when you left Wellington, your cabin would have seats and you sit in there, and then later on when it was bedtime, the attendant, every carriage had an attendant, they would fold down the ready-made bed, and then you could sleep in the bed for the night. And then in the morning you fold the bed away and it became a seat again for the rest of the trip. The trains had a restaurant car or dining car on them, and you could have cooked meals and a beverage if you wanted. And
so that would be open most of the night?
No, it was only there for the evening, for evening meals. The attendants, every carriage had an attendant, and the attendant also doubled up as waiters in the restaurant car in the early part of the evening, and then they went back to their carriages to be an attendant there. But in the morning, the attendants brought a continental breakfast to you on a tray to your cabin,
And so the New Zealand idea of a continental breakfast was?
Well, a small box of cereals, a small container of milk, and a there might have been some fruit as well, and then a cup of tea or coffee.
Okay.
Just on a small tray. So that would be brought to your cabin, and you'd have your breakfast by yourself, or if you're in a two-person cabin, then you'd obviously have it with your travelling companion. But during the night while you're asleep, you, as happened in hotels in those days, you put your shoes out for cleaning. And the attendant came along and cleaned your shoes, so you had clean shoes for the morning.
Because those were the days of shoe polish and polishing your shoes, all of which you just don't do anymore.
That's right, exactly.
All disappear.
So really the travel on the Silver Star was quite luxurious, quite expensive, and I did quite a few trips between Taumarunui and Wellington on the Silver Star. There was a northbound one and a southbound one, each night, and they crossed normally about Raurimu, and then the crew changed over, so the ones that had come from Wellington went back to Wellington, and likewise Auckland went back to Auckland.
Okay, and did you find you could get a decent sleep on?
I've never been a good sleeper at night on anything that moves.
Did it rock a lot then? Or
no, it was
a lot of noise?
No, it was a very, very quiet train. The windows were double glazed. And you couldn't hear the locomotive, mainly because it was so far away. It was a long train. About the only noise you could hear really was, I suppose, the air conditioning.
And not the rails?
Well, you could hear the rails, but... apart from that, no, very, very quiet.
The air conditioning, what sort of air conditioning?
I don't know whether it did cooling or heating. Well, it must have done heating, because it would have been down cold otherwise. So where it came from, I'm not too sure. Each carriage, I imagine, would have had its own air conditioning unit.
Another thing, I mean, as a side issue, but these were the days of suitcases without wheels. Now they all seem to have wheels and flat areas that you can wheel them along, but you'd have to carry them up and down into the trains and everything, was it?
Yes, they had each train, I'm talking about the Silver Star now, each train had a separate car, which was partly luggage and partly generator. So the generator generated electricity for the train, and then obviously there was the space there for luggage that you didn't want overnight. So if you were travelling with a suitcase, a large suitcase, that went into the luggage van, and then you had an overnight bag for what you needed on the train.
And they'd have to have those all stacked for people who were getting off on route.
That's right. Yeah, the train actually had quite a big staff. As I said, every carriage had an attendant. They had at least two or three cooks for the dining car. There was a train manager, and then there was they carried somebody, and it was always he's in those days, was responsible for any mechanical breakdowns on the train. Not just the locomotive, but within the carriages. If there was some problem, then there was a person there.
Were the wash basins in
the
room?
Yes, the single berth cabins, as well as having a single seat, which was very good. It was right by the window, so you got a good view of the outside world, which folded down to become a bed. Again, you had a good view of the outside world. And then there was a unit there with a hand basin on top, and a toilet seat, two toilet underneath. It's all built into one. It was all stainless steel. The hand basin folded out from the unit, and you could do your ablutions, the washing face, whatever you needed to do. And then when you finished, you just tipped it up, and the water just tipped out the back down the drain. And likewise, the toilet, from memory, is a bit like airline toilets these days. It was sort of vacuum flushing. I'm not sure whether in those days they had their own waste tanks on the carriages, or whether it was as they did in the old days, they just emptied out on the track.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they might have had their own tanks in those days.
Yeah, Okay. And so with all these stops, you say if you arrived at Tamanu, you'd have to walk home there. So there's not sort of a load of taxis waiting for people coming off the trains? Or
not in Tamanu. No taxis at all.
Yeah. Okay. So, and you, I suppose now you've had the chance to compare the old train system as opposed to currently you might fly from one place to another.
That was the beginning of the end for the Silver Star. As I said, the Silver Star started in 1971, but it ended in 1979, only 8 years later. The reason for that being was that the Silver Star was probably a bit late. They should have had a train like that 10 years earlier. But about the 1970s, airline travel was becoming more popular and more convenient and cheaper, and more people were travelling between Auckland and Wellington by plane. As I said, that was the beginning of the end, and the Silver Star was running at a loss. I read somewhere that it was costing railways about $20 per passenger. That's what they lost per passenger. And in the end, because of the high costs, obviously with their big crew on board and other costs, it was very expensive to run. So eventually it became so uneconomical that they decided not to continue with it in 1979.
Yeah.
And the other train that was running on the main trunk at that time, the other night train, the Express, continued to run, but it was later upgraded to a train that they called the Northerner, which had better carriages. It had refurbished carriages, seats, and was much better than the old Express.
Yeah, and buses, I suppose, would have become more competitive as well, would they? Or weren't people using those much for long?
Well, in the days that I can't remember when it finished, but in the early days, buses were run by railways. They were NZR buses.
Okay.
So quite often they ran sort of NZR were in competition with themselves by running buses on the same route that passenger trains were running.
Yeah, yeah.
But buses generally tend to run during the daytime.
And then you
had the night trains as well.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.